97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the one-and-done phenomenon in college basketball. Our guest, Joe Nocera, sports columnist for the New York Times. Joe, this one-and-done phenomenon, we're going to talk about it in general, but let's look at the specifics of the Ben Simmons case and this documentary that is coming out about him. What are we going to see in this documentary?
Well, you're going to see a pretty unvarnished view of a talented athlete who has no interest in going to school and is only doing it because he has to because of the one-and-done rule. And so he's very upfront about saying after his first semester, I'm not going to school anymore in the second semester. And he even gets sat down for the first 5 minutes of a game because he misses too many classes. And he talks to himself as he's walking to the press conference where they're going to ask him about this. He's talking to himself. And he's making believe in his own mind that he's asking and answering the questions. And the questions are like, you know, so why did you miss the class? Why aren't you going to class? And he says in response, I'm only going to be here for a year. What's the point? I'm not going to get a degree. I just want to play basketball. You know, of course, he doesn't say that when he actually is in front of the press. But the point is, this is a very typical attitude of an athlete who doesn't want to be in college but has to be. And it really kind of, you know, there are many things that have ripped the lid off the hypocrisy of the NCAA, but this does it pretty effectively.
So you mentioned that, in your opinion, the documentary was at the same time shocking yet unsurprising. So what's the shocking part of it, that he was so honest?
Yeah, the shocking part of it is exactly that he's so honest. You don't really see that very often. And his parents are honest about it. And, you know, his sister, who winds up sort of being his manager, is lining up, you know, agents for him even before he's not signing with anybody, but she's out there interviewing agents. And everything is about prepping him for leaving school. And he drops out of school literally the day they lose their last game.
So the unsurprising part is that a lot of guys are going into it thinking these things, but not saying them.
Right. You know, we're at the point now where it's not just John Calipari recruiting one-and-dones. It's everybody. Mike Krzyzewski. All the good teams are recruiting one-and-dones because if you want to win, that's what you got to do.
So this is the cost of doing business, right?
Yeah, it has become the cost of doing business. Let me just say, as a little aside, I personally believe it has degraded college basketball because you don't have the same tightness on a team and the same kind of ability to read each other's minds that you do when you've got juniors and seniors on the floor. But that's, you know, one man's opinion, and it certainly hasn't hurt the game financially.
So I want to pull out just a couple of the things that Simmons says specifically and get you to respond to them.
Sure.
He's grudgingly going to class. I mean, he grudgingly goes to college. He'd prefer not to even be in college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of the quotes is, they say you get an education, but if you're only going to be here a year, that's not much of an education.
Right. Now, just to be fair, I mean, there certainly are players who come back after their playing days and get a diploma. But a lot of them don't. And he's absolutely right that if you're only going to be there two semesters, and if you're only going to take classes that are designed to keep you eligible as opposed to classes that are going to lead somewhere in an education sense, you're not getting anything out of it. The whole NCAA idea that in return for playing basketball you get a free education is shown in the case of one-and-dones to be just a corrupt bargain.
Yeah, so a couple of other things that he says along those lines are, why pretend if it's not going to help me, and I can't get a degree in two semesters, so what's the point?
Exactly.
What is the point, Jeff? What is the point?
You know, you know what the point really is? The point really is that the NBA doesn't want to have to draft high school kids. That's the point.
Why not?
Because there have been too many cases where it's hard to tell whether somebody is going to be a good pro based on playing other high schoolers. And so while there have been players over the years like Kevin Garnett, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and others, Tracy McGrady, too many times, in the opinion of the NBA teams, they've drafted high school players who've been busts, who just sit at the end of the bench for a couple of years and then get cut and kind of go back to where they came from. And they've got no future prospects in college because they've gone pro. So, you know, they instituted the one and done in collaboration with the Players Association so they could have another year to watch athletes play at the college level, where they could get a better sense of how good they might be, and where also, to be blunt, the colleges do a good job of marketing. So players, you know, like Anthony Davis, a one and done from Kentucky, come out of college, and they're already big names, and you can sell season tickets against a big name like Anthony Davis, who gives you hope that your franchise will turn around. That really doesn't happen, except in the rarest and rarest of cases like LeBron, when you draft somebody out of high school.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with sports columnist from the New York Times, Joe Nocera, about the one-and-done phenomenon. Joe, you were talking about these high school kids, the ones who used to come directly out of high school, and many of them washed out. It seems that I've not done a systematic review of this, but it seems just from the reporting that there are far fewer one-and-dones who wash out.
My instinct is that's right. You're right. I haven't studied it either. But I think it's for exactly this reason. I think it's, that the pro scouts have a much better feel for players. There's a second reason, too, and this is something that's changed recently, which is that college players are, under the rules, are now allowed to declare for the draft so they can get a sense of where they might be drafted, but then pull back, as long as they don't hire an agent, you know, decide to not be drafted and go back to college. So in other words, if you decide to declare for the draft and then you hear that you're going to be a third round draft pick and you're not really going to get much money, you can say, well, you know what, I think I'll stay in college. And I think that's playing a part too.
All right. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that they are able to do that?
It's a good thing. I think they should be able to have agents, to be honest. I don't understand what's wrong with it. Why is that a bad thing, to get advice when you're 18 years old?
Okay. So that sort of leads us into the idea of market forces. Why wouldn't somebody straight from high school, if he had the opportunity, want to go pro? Or why wouldn't somebody, after just a year, want to go pro and start making all the millions of dollars? You can't blame these guys for wanting that.
No, you can't blame them at all. You know, in most other spheres in American life, people are allowed to make economic decisions, you know, out of high school, but not if you're an athlete. If you're a football player, by the way, we haven't even mentioned that. You have to wait 3 years before you can declare. In baseball and hockey, you have a legitimate choice whether to go to the minor leagues out of high school or whether to go to college, where you have to stay for 3 years before you can be drafted. My overall argument is that the NCAA is an economic cartel that exists to suppress the wages of the labor force, which is the players. So that's kind of where I come from. And so, you know, both the college system itself and the one and done system is basically a distortion of free market economics.
All right, so let's say that someone gives you unlimited power for a day. You're king of sports. Would you allow kids to just, in any sport, to go directly from high school into the pros? Or might there be part of the system that says, well, you're allowed to do that, but in your case, I'm not so sure that's the best choice. What's the answer?
Well, I think the first thing I would do is, and I think some of this might happen, is I would make, I would pay real money to players in the development league, the D-League. So I'd make the D-League much more attractive for high school players who don't want to go to college. What I want is players to have a legitimate choice. Now, you know, personally, what I would do is I would pay the players in college. I mean, that's what I really think should happen. That there should be a system, and so a player can, you know, make some money in college, knowing that he may make a lot more in the pros, or knowing that he may not make anything in the pros, because most of these guys don't become pro, you know, and their only chance to make money athletically is while they're in college. But putting that aside for a second, say you're going to have the same system you have now, where college remains scholarship only for the athletes. You know, I would have a very attractive, I would eliminate the one and done, but I would have a very attractive D-League pay so that high school guys who are not ready, or even ones who think they are ready and get drafted, you know, can go to the minor leagues first, or can be sent down to the minor leagues and then sent up, just the way they do it in baseball. The baseball system is much more sane than the basketball system.
All right, so baseball more sane, but you're not going to make a great living playing minor league baseball.
No, you're not. And the goal of every minor league baseball player, well, minor league baseball players sign contracts. So if you're Steven Strasburg, you know, you did get a lot of money up front, right? I mean, you got a big signing bonus. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the players. I mean, you know, some high school players who think they can be pros but really don't have the talent or whatever, they're going to find that out. You know, they're going to go in the D-League and they're going to find that out. Other players may need more seasoning. They don't want to go to college and get that seasoning. They can get that seasoning while making, you know, $100,000 a year or something like that. That's kind of the way I'm thinking about it. You're right about the minor leagues, but you know, a kid coming out of high school who plays baseball gets to decide whether to go pro and or whether to go to college. And that's really the core of what should happen. You should be able to get out of high school and make a decision about your economic future.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the one-and-done phenomenon in college basketball with our guest, Joe Nocera, sports columnist for the New York Times. So, Joe, you end a column when you're talking about this documentary with a much broader look at the problem, at the issue, and you say that it's really up to three entities as to whether this changes or not. That would be the NBA, the Players Union, and the NCAA. And
right.
I'm looking at that and I'm going, I buy that, but I don't see the incentive for any of those three to change this.
I agree with you.
So
I agree with that.
So where
In fact, the NBA would like to make it two and done. The Players Association has refused to go along with that. But the next, you know.
So why do they want that? What's the benefit to the NBA to make it two and done?
Well, yet more time to evaluate,
okay.
Yet more time to have players mature, yet more time for marketing purposes. And for the players, you know, it means that veterans get to stay around a little longer. Because their jobs aren't being taken away by younger kids.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so again, looking back at the incentive to change one and done, the NC2A, based on what you've written, is part of the problem, a big part of the problem.
Well, so, I will say this. The NCAA hates one and done. It kind of, for several reasons. One, it exposes the sort of hypocrisy that we're giving players in education. They just don't like the idea of a player kind of renting a chair at a university for a semester and a half. And they would like to change it, but they don't have the power to change it because the legality of it is built around the fact that the NBA and the Players Association have made an arm's-length agreement that the law will recognize. So unless the NCAA could persuade the NBA to change it, to make it 3-1 or 4-1, in which case I can guarantee you there would be antitrust lawsuits, the NCAA is just going to remain powerless here.
All right, so the NC2A is made up of its member institutions, right? The institutions, mm-hmm. the coaches, could say, we're not going to take one-and-done players. But, of course, you and I both know that's never going to happen, that they would say that.
Well, you see, here's the thing. You're right. But, I mean, if they did pay the players, let's say they paid the player. Let's say they played the players somewhere between, I don't know, $30,000 and $70,000, depending on the player. Let's just say. You could have a system where you had a contract, as you do in so many other spheres of American life. And the contract would say, you know, I will pay you $50,000 a year to play for my team, in return for which you will not leave before your junior year or your senior year. You could do that. Now, you know, they can't really institute that kind of contract because they've got this system set up where we give you this education in return for playing basketball, but there's nothing that can stop a player from leaving. There's nothing contractual to stop a player from leaving.
All right, so this system, even former players, Jalen Rose and others, have said, you know, this is a joke. This one-and-done thing is a total joke. So even they recognize it. But again, I just am not seeing the incentive for anyone to make these changes.
Well, you know, there's a bit of here's one of the things I've been told is that when the new collective bargaining agreement between the NBA and the Players Association is finally revealed, which I believe will happen fairly soon. I think they're pretty close to being done. They will, in fact, offer a much better salary for the development league. And I think this has to do sort of with an embarrassment factor that the whole thing is such a sham that it just looks so bad. And it's so clear that so many players don't want to be in school and are only doing it grudgingly to get to where they can get drafted. And there's the risk of injury when they're freshmen, which is, you know, potential career ending before they even get to the pot of gold. So, you know, if that were to happen, it actually might start to change the system and might draw more high school kids, high school graduates to the development league instead of the NCAA. And I think that would, if that were to pick up steam and become something, become a normal part of basketball life for a good player, I think that would go a long way to solving the problem.
So, Joe, in the final 30 seconds that we have left, what's the impact of this documentary, of this player's willingness to state what we all know is the case on this issue?
Well, it's a very good documentary, but, you know, who knows how many people watched it? Who knows how many other people besides me have written about it? You know, I think it's kind of an accretion. Accretion. So a little by little, the case against the one and done is being made, and this documentary is a small part of that helps build momentum for criticism and possibly change.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Joe Nocera. Thanks also to engineer Dylan Field, and as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.